coming from a very poor family. And not only that, but I'm the least. I'm the least in my family. So this word which the angel is saying isn't making sense. I'm talking to somebody, right? So the angel says, no, you are actually a great mighty man of valor. It's like when I give a prophecy to somebody that you're going to, God will use you and you're going to support ministry. You will be a billionaire. Like, oh, are you aware that I've got debts? You get the story. So the man says, I have actually a problem. I come from a family that nobody recognizes. And you're telling me I should become a king. It is not even closer to the royal family. How shall what you're saying be possible? How can I be a ruler? I'm not even closer to the kingship. But I want to say this to everybody else here, that God's ways will always challenge your thinking. It doesn't matter how your situation or your state is right now, but God will do something that's going to challenge your thinking and your status. If you believe, say amen. Amen. Now, so the angel says, I understand your family is poor in Manasseh, and I do know that you are actually the least from your family. But there is one thing that I want you to do. Break the altars of your father. In the scripture, the Bible here says that in verse 25, all right, the angel goes ahead and says,
and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take thy father's young Barak, even the second Barak of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has, and cut down the grove that is by it.
If you check the scripture, God says, your father has something. God says to Gideon, he says, I know you're from poor family. I know you see no possibility of what I'm saying. But the reason why there is no possibility is there is a background, a spiritual attack. This spiritual attack comes from a god of Baal. Your father worshiped this Baal. And I want you to bring it down. Remove it from your father's house. Because you are touched with your father's background. And you need to remove it. But God says you are not going to just remove it. He says you will remove it with an offering. Please, I'm not teaching about offering tonight. God says, take a lamb. Are you understanding this? From your father's bullock, take one that is about 7 years old, and with it, you will bring down your father's altar. I'm talking to somebody here. With it, as you give it unto me, every altar of your father shall be broken. No. I'm talking to somebody right here. So God says, bring it. And I want him. Bring it. And when you do that, the altar of your father, it doesn't matter what was trying to maybe he was trying before to make prayers to bring it down. But God says, this time around, we need to use the lamb. This was a prediction of what will happen in the future. Because Jesus Christ will come like a perfect lamb. And being seven is a number of perfection. So this lamb, it has to be a perfect lamb. A lamb of perfection, which carries the number 7. And this is nothing but Jesus Christ, who shall be able to bring down every altar in your family that is blocking you to remain poor and to move forward. So God says, I'm going to talk to somebody here. He says, bring in the bullock from your father's bullock. Take a lamb and bring it to me. And he says, you shall bring down. He says, you shall, with this lamb, you shall bring down your father's altars. Your background. Altars are demonic or godly entities through which blessings are uttered or curses are uttered. I'm talking to somebody here, right? I'm speaking to you because I have an altar here. This is an altar I'm talking to you from. Witches have also altars. They can't just curse you. They must go at their place where they announce cases, where they bewitch people. They have a location. Even within their houses, they have a place at their corner. They have to make announcements and enchantments. That place is called altar. Me as a prophet, I have a place here on the pulpit here where I come and I make statements. It's called my altar. In my house, they have a room where I go and pray. That room is my altar. So altars are places where blessings or curses can operate from or can manifest. Are we together? No. Am I talking to somebody here? So Gideon had a problem. The reason why they were poor is because in the family, am I talking to somebody here? In the family, there was a bar. What was bar doing? Now, when we go into the book of Numbers, should we go there? Yes. All right. No problem. I want to show you a very important thing here. There was a prophet of Baal. Somebody say prophet of Baal. Now, I want us to check from Numbers 23, from verse 1 to 2. Let me just read that quickly. The Bible here says, and Balaam said unto Barak. Okay, Balaam was a false prophet. He was a prophet of Baal. Now remember, Gideon, he's receiving a prophecy from an angel that you will be used. You will become a great man. But he says, but there's one problem in your house. What will block all this from happening? There is a demonic entity called Baal. It has to be uprooted first. And the angel says, you must remove that first if you want to see the prophecy manifesting. I'm going to talk to somebody right here. And I want you to get this message very correctly and very nicely. And now in the book of Numbers, there was a man by the name Balaam. Balaam comes from two words, Ba-alam. Ba means the god of Ba, whose father of Gideon was worshiping and had put him in his house. But we need to understand here that the god of Baal brings in a certain spirit of altars. And these altars are demonic what? No, you didn't hear me. These altars are demonic what? And they are how many? They are seven. I want you to hear this. There are seven altars. There are seven demonic altars which normally come by the influence of a god called Baal. That's why God said to Gideon, your father has got a Baal in the house. There is a spirit of Baal. You must take a lamb that must also have a number what? Seven. Because each year represents an altar of Baal. Now in Numbers 23 verse 1, the Bible says Balaam, he was hired to curse the people of Israel. But Balaam said, if you want me to curse the people of Israel, this is what you must do. Balaam says unto Balak. Balak is the one who hired him to curse Israel. Build me here how many? Seven altars. And prepare me here seven what? Oxen. And seven what? Rams. He mentions of rams. He mentioned of oxen, and he mentioned of altars. Because a ram or a lamb is the one that we kill and we put on the what? On the altar in those days. And Barak realizes that I cannot release a case against the people of Israel without what? An altar. And he says, not one. I need how many? Seven. I'm talking to somebody here. Now, can you imagine that Gideon, he's born from a family whose father was worshiping a Baal, a god of seven altars. And God says, you'll be a great man. But God won't start with you. He has to go back into your background and finish what has been a problem in your family. And Gideon says, our family is the poorest. The reason why the family was so poor is because there were altars in the house which the father had not dealt with. So you may be in church today and be wondering why your things are not moving the way they are supposed to move. There could be an altar or altars which we must break and dismantle tonight. If you believe that we can break these altars, somebody raise up your hand and say, I break them now. Now, these seven altars, tonight I want to share you all of them, but I'm going to give you three, and tomorrow I'm going to give you the rest. So there are seven altars which Balaam requested they must be built. Now, the people of Israel, they are just moving. This is what we keep on telling you, that you must be very careful, because the people of Israel, they were moving in the wilderness, and they didn't know they had somebody. Remember, they never saw Balaam, but Balaam was seeing them. As they were walking, going to Israel, Barak the king hired Balaam, and they went on top of the mountain, and he said, do you see them? Those are Israelites. They are going back to Israel. Let's curse them. And he said, no. Do you mean what? Seven altars, so I cursed them. The Israelites didn't see them. You must know this, that the people who can actually bring you down, you are not seeing them doing it. There are some secrecy going on around you. There are people who are trying to bring you down. It's not everybody who's happy with you of your success. It's not everybody who is so proud of you if things are moving well. Somebody somewhere is raising up an altar to bring you down. You must be very careful, because altars are real. Am I talking to somebody here? How many altars were raised here? Seven altars. He said, raise up seven. Seven altars. And Gideon is born from this family, where eventually Baal has even gone to Israel. Is even in the house of the father of Gideon. And Gideon is there. And Gideon is wondering why they are poor and why he is the least. It was not his problem. There was a spirit of Baal in the house that was supposed to be terminated. If the prophecy of Gideon had to come to pass. Now, the first altar on the seven altars. I'm going to give you three. Am I allowed to give you three? Or because of time, should we do tomorrow? No. The first altar that we'll be looking upon tonight is known as the altar of the land. Some say the altar of the land. Come on, say it again. Say it again.
The altar of the land.
There is what we call the altar of the land. Listen to me. Listen to me. If there is a thing the enemy will look up so much on you, is land. This is why God would likely say, I will bless you, the land that you shall. Why would God talk about blessing the land? Why would God oftentimes speak of, I will bless the land. Blessed shall be the land you shall put your crops. Why would God? Because God understands there are altars of what? Of land. If you're not careful, your land can be taken away. Let's go to Genesis 26 quickly. Say Genesis 26.
Genesis 26.
Now we read from verse 19 to 22. Can you just read for me?
Genesis 26 from verse number 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of spring water. And the headmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's headmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Stina. And he removed from hence and digged another well. And for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land.
Somebody say, the altar of the land.
Of the land.
Say it again.
The altar of the land.
The altar of the land. You must get this in your mind somewhere. The first land that he actually took, they fought him and he left it. He went into another land. They fought him. He left it. He called it Sitna. He left it. And the one that he actually got for the last, Rehoboth, they said, we will not fight him. And he said, God has given us room and made us to be fruitful in this land. Come on. I want you to hear this. I'm talking to somebody right here.
Yes.
Somebody say fruitful.
Fruitful.
Say it again. Fruitful in the land. Do you know that the first thing that Abraham would do if he's given a land was to offer what? A sacrifice. To raise an altar unto the Lord. When we continue reading in the same chapter, we see that even Isaac did the same. He raised an altar unto the Lord. Why? Because a land, the land where you are, or any land that you need, you must understand this, that the enemy knows very sure that you will never get a blessing without land being attached. And some of you, your cases that you have comes back from your land. Hello? Some of you, the cases you have, they are traced back from the land you're coming from. This is why you need to know that there is a special altar, an altar for the land. And if they curse the land of Israel, Israel will become a wanderer without a place to settle. And this was the whole meaning they needed. They wanted to curse Israel to become a wanderer, to have no place to stay. No settlement. If the enemy releases this altar against you, you are finished. We have people who are trying to build houses now, and they're no longer finishing the houses they're building. Sometimes the place where you're building, you don't know the altar which was raised in that location. There was a certain time I involved somebody into a certain transaction, a certain business. Oh my God, we never closed it. No, and the person was so much hardworking, but we never closed it. Until God, on that day, when I was at the Goshen City, when I was praying, when he showed me about the man, that's the day God told me, he said, you must be very careful with openings. He said, do you remember that transaction you wanted? I said, yes, Lord. He said, it failed because the man that was working for you, he was an opening. There are openings in the realms of the spirit that if you are not careful, they can have access to your marriage. They can have access to your money. And altars are part of openings. If you don't deal with altars, evils will have access to you because of those altars. Am I talking to you? Am I speaking to you? So I'm hearing you, prophet. You must be very careful. You must be very careful. You must be very careful. There are people you greet. After that, your life begins to go down. Openings. Somebody raise up your hand. I say, I break every opening.
I break every opening.
Hey, the way you are talking. The way you are talking, you better be serious, so. Because I can see a lot of you have got openings. So I break the openings.
I break the openings.
Hey. Some of you have got issues and you don't know why. It's the land you are coming from. And am I talking to you?
Yes.
Am I talking to you?
Yes.
Altars of the land. There are some of you. Your place you're coming from, there were altars that were raised by your kings, by your chiefs. In your land. That's where the word deliverance exists. Because we cast out evils. Altars, demonic altars, are evil. And we as believers, it is our job to cast them out. Am I talking to you? Am I speaking to you? I was one day in Uganda. I was in Uganda one time. And when we arrived there, they didn't know why. I said, at night when I was praying, God told me, he said, there is a place you have if you want to do the meeting tomorrow. There's a place you must go and deal with. I had that word. God told me the name of the place. He said, there's a place called Jinja. So I said, take me there. So they took me, and they were all thinking, I'm going there. Every time I go to Uganda, they will tell you, I will not preach until they take me there. As we are driving, I said, can you stop by that bush? And my Sunday, he drove. And I walked out. I went into the bush. Guess what I saw? Under a tree, an altar, demonic altar, where people had put traditional pots, you know, these traditional pots, all around the tree. And you could see dead chickens that they actually, some dead long time ago, some you just see around that place. I said, I got it. I went back into the car. I said, this is serious. We now drove to Jinja. Jinja is a source of Nile River. I said, take me. I said, I want to jump into the boat. I want, take me where, I want to see where the Nile River starts. So as they were taking me on the boat, I said, move along the river. All I was seeing along the river were altars, demonic altars, people putting pots and crazy stuff all around. And I was just behaving like I'm not seeing nothing. But I was not with them. Spiritually, I was in a dimension of warfare. I knew it is so difficult prophetically, the land of Uganda, to be redeemed if these altars are not dealt with. And intercessors are men of God and women of God in Uganda. They have so much work to do, because prophetically, whether you like it or not, God has raised up a pulpit. The pulpit of God is in Uganda. You didn't hear me. But they will never get it. And it will, trust you me, until these altars are broken. As much as it is, Uganda was supposed to be a headquarters of the glory of God. But the altars of the land is polluted. It needs intercessors, men of God, women of God, to pray and fight. But they will never. Because the enemy has gone and took over a lot of men of God and made them to start fighting each other. So now it's the battle of the church. So I'm like, so I'm moving there, and they are moving me. And I'm like, oh, this is crazy. I could sense warfare. Altars of the land. You must know there are altars of the land. This is where principalities and spirits operate from. They say, who do you think you are? What do you think you can do? I'm talking to you. If I go now to any city and find a demon-possessed person, do you know what that person will say? Do you know what the demon will say? What do you want in our land? Do you know when Jesus was casting out a demon, a legion, the demon said, do not cast us out from this land. These were altars of the land, demons of the land. You must be very careful, because some of you here, you are being affected by demons of the land. You don't know, and just moving. But there could be a connection from the land, and spirits monitor you from that level. But we have the power and the blood of Jesus, as God predicted through Gideon. It's only the lamb that can break and destroy all demonic altars. Somebody said, by the blood of the lamb, I command every demonic altar to be broken now. If you're following some following prophet. Another altar we'll be dealing with is the altars of water. Altars on water. This one is very serious. These ones are responsible for violence, prostitution, barrenness, delaying marriage, witchcraft. These, others, they call them marine spirits, demons of water. Jesus Christ came across them several times. There was one child who the Bible says when the demon comes upon the child, the demon would throw the child in water or on fire. So this spirit, it was manifesting in two ways. Are you here, right? It was manifesting as a spirit of water. Whenever it sees water, the man will jump into the water. Are you here? Very destroying spirits. Altars on water. Let me show you something here. In the book of Luke, okay? Let's go to Luke chapter 8, verse 20, from verse 26.
Luke 8, verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man.
When he went to the what? To the land, okay? Don't forget the demon of the land, and now we're dealing with the demon of the water. Go ahead.
There met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and were no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he broke the bands asunder and was driven out of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" He said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep.
Just a moment. Go back. Give me an NIV. I want you to read the same verse.
And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss.
All right. Go verse 32.
A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down to the steep bank into the lake and was drowned.
Wait a minute. I just want to have a problem here that I want you to know, because this is so spiritual, as I did mention. We're going to command certain things to happen, and they'll happen tonight. I can tell you and I can promise you. Did you just hear this? When the spirits entered into the pigs, what happened? The demons threw the pigs away into the water. Just like that young boy. Whenever the spirit seized him, the Bible says it would throw him into the water. I don't know if you're getting that. Yes. So these demons are water spirits. And I want you to know this. They cause so much destruction. Okay? We have a lot of people right now who don't even know what I'm talking about, because maybe you just found this teaching in the middle. You just join now. But I want you to know this. There are demonic altars that the enemy can raise against your family. Gideon, he had a destiny, but he would never achieve the destiny before destroying the altars in the house first. Now, I want you to just to say this word. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every demonic altar.
Every demonic altar.
In my family.
In my family.
Be broken now.
Be broken now.
Say it again. Be broken now.
Be broken now.
Say, break.
I break.
Every demonic altar.
Every demonic altar.
I destroy.
And I destroy.
Every demonic altar.
Every demonic altar.
That my life is built upon.
That my life is built
that
upon.
My career is built upon.
That my career is built
that
upon.
My finances are built
that
upon.
That my finances are built upon.
Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I break it now.
I break it now.
And I want you to hear this. As we are sharing the word. As we're sharing now. They are water spirits, marine spirits, that have attacked people even from the Bible. They, not only people, they could even attack animals. And I want you to hear the word. If a person says, my money went into water, what do they mean? Come on. There's an idiom. A person says, all my money goes into water. What does that mean? Come on, somebody answer me a question. What does that mean? Does it mean that the money walks like this, like walking into the water?
No.
What does that mean? Now, I want you to get to where these water spirits are coming from. I want you to know they're able to make what you do perish. And we, as Jesus Christ told us, said, be watchful. He said, be watchful, for the devil is roaring like a lion. And we need to know this as Christians. As believers, we need to know the enemy is all up to something to destroy you, to make you broke, to make you poor, just like he did with the family of Gideon. Until Gideon said to the angel, he said, you have no idea. I come from the poor family. And the angel said, the problem is in your house, destroying the altars. There is the altar of the land. I'm talking to somebody right here, right? There's the altar of the water. Spirits and demonic influences and entities that are standing on your way and operating from water, operating from the land. Because the word altar is the word operation. So when we speak an altar, it's where I operate as a man of God or men of God, women of God. We operate from the godly altars. And the devil operates from evil altars. So we have spirits operating from the water. Spirits operating from the land. Raise your hand now and say, I bind you now.
Bind you now.
And you shall remain bound.
And you shall remain bound.
No more authority in my family.
No more authority in my family.
No more power in my finances.
No more power in my finances.
No more authority in my spiritual life.
No more authority in my spiritual life.
I close every opening.
I close every opening.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Can you go ahead? Are you still there? Number three, we'll deal with altars on the graveyards. And it's so common in Africa. My friend, if someone has gone to the graveyard for you, say altars on the graveyards. We see a man of God in the Bible who had fallen spiritually, going to such an altar. I'm telling somebody, right? A man who had fallen spiritually, going, and he's calling altars on the graveyards. These normally disguise themselves as ancestors. And we have people who actually go to the graveyards to consult. These are altars on graveyards. Let me say this to you. Let me say something to you. I do believe that people who died, if they were in Christ Jesus, they will resurrect on the last day. And I do believe, I had a child who died But because she died, she can't become my ancestor. Hear me. I have grandparents. Before my grandmother died, I laid her to Christ. Before my grandparents died, they were in Christ. But we can't go to them now and say, hello, 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 my grandfather, talk to us. We're in trouble. I'm saying this because we have people right now who are actually doing it. And some of you are not doing it, but your past generation was actually doing it. And you were born in town and you know nothing. But because you are born in town, it does not disconnect you from what they were doing. There are rulings in the spirit. There are announcements in the spirit that you are attached to. There are legalities and spiritual entities that you are connected to. Until they are broken, you remain connected to such type of things. It doesn't mean because you are born again, then no, no. If Mary, who was walking with Jesus, Mary of Magdalene, who was walking with Jesus, the Bible says Jesus removed demons from her. If Peter, who was actually with Jesus, right where Jesus was, the devil entered him. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Jesus had to cast the devil out of Peter. Jesus had to deliver Peter, the apostle of God. And this is a great man of God called Peter. And your name, there is no P or T. And you think that you can't be attacked? You must be joking. Like, oh, I'm in Christ Jesus. Nothing can happen. Oh, nothing can happen. I've seen a lot of men of God who preach a such type of gospel, and the devil is always coming after them. I'm telling you, if the devil came to Jesus in his fasting, on his 40th day of fasting, who do you think you are? The Bible says came to test him. Remember, Jesus didn't die for your business. Jesus died for your soul. As long as your soul is okay with Jesus, everything is fine with you. The rest of things around you, he put them under your control. It is up to you to command things. He said, if you shall believe in my name, you shall tread upon scorpions and snakes. They will not bite. He says, you shall cast out evils. The rest is your responsibility. What to do with witches is not Jesus' business. What to do with demons is not Jesus' business. It is your audacity.
Yes.
Somebody say, I'm hearing you, prophet.
Powerful.
So you must know. So Gideon has a prophecy that he shall become a great man. But he has a problem because in his family background, there are things he has not dealt with. And the angel says, before you move forward with the word of prophecy, go back and deal with what is in your family. We have people who get prophecies in church, and they keep on moving with the word of prophecy before they deal with what the devil has planted in their background. It is so dangerous. So I'm hearing you, my prophet. 1 Samuel 28, verse 7. What happens there? The Bible says, then said so unto his servants, seek me a woman that has a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And the servants say to him, behold, there is a woman that has a familiar spirit at Endor. Now wait. Give me NIV. I want you to hear something here. It says, Saul said unto his attendants, find me a woman who has a medium, so I may go and inquire of her. There is one in Endor, they said. So Saul disguised himself, putting on their clothes. And at night, he and two men went to the woman. Consult a spirit for me, he said, and bring up for me the one I name. But the woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done. He has cut off the mediums and spirits from the land. You hear the demons, the altars of the land? He says that Saul, he removed the spirits of the land. And it's the same Saul who has gone to consult to the same spirits. Why have you set a trap for me, for my life, to bring about my death? In verse 10, Saul swore to her by the Lord, as surely as the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this. Then the woman asked, whom shall I bring up for you? Can you imagine? Saul wants to talk to dead people. Bring up Samuel, he said. When the woman saw Samuel, he cried out at the top of her voice and said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. Did you hear that? You didn't hear this. Samuel had died. King Saul had gone to the woman, said, I want you to bring Samuel to appear here. And the woman did her magic. A man who died long time ago appeared. And when the woman saw Samuel, impartation of the prophetic came upon her. She looked at the man who disguised himself and said, ah, you actually saw. Are you understanding? You must be very careful. These are altars of the grave. Because some of you, what you're dealing with is operating from a graveyard. And you're in church and you're wondering why you can't get married. And you're in church, you're wondering why things are not moving. There must be an altar somewhere. Either from the water, either from the land, either from the grave. But whatever altar that could be operating, tonight I want you to raise your hand again and say, I bind every altar.
Every altar.
And any spirit of interference.
Any spirit of interference.
Against my life.
Against my life.
And I rebuke it.
And I rebuke
and
it.
And I command out.
And I command it out.
Say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Judges 6. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father has, and cut down the grove that is by it. In verse 26, hear very careful. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. God is telling him now what to do. After breaking these demonic altars, raise up a godly altar. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. You must be very careful. He was scared to destroy these altars during the day. He broke them by night. It's not a coincidence that, but tonight we're standing here. So tonight we destroy altars.
Tonight we destroy altars.
Now the Bible says, let me just continue for you. I love this. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cast down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built, the godly altar. So they destroyed it and built the godly altar next to it. If they monitor you through altars, Balaam was monitoring them using 7 altars of Baal. Now the Bible says, and they said one another, who has done this thing? And when, 2-3, go read.
And asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing.
Who told them? Demonic altars are dangerous. They can monitor you. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar. No, did you hear that? Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Now go to verse 32 in NIV. The Bible says, so because Gideon broke down Baal's altar, they gave him the name Jerubbaal that day, saying, let Baal contend with him. We have destroyed your Baal. We have destroyed your altar. If you are powerful, fight for yourself. Do you know what happened the following day? Baal came to fight. The second verse, Amalekites, Midianites, and other eastern people joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and camped in the valley of Jezreel. You need to know. Baal influenced other nations to come against Israel because of time. But the story is they were all defeated. Chapter 8, verse 22. What happened? The Bible says, and I want you to hear this. The Israelites said to Gideon, rule over us, you, your son, and your grandson, because you have saved us from the hand of the Midian. A man who was least, a man from the poorest family, they began to beg him because the man had destroyed demonic altars. I pray and I declare, people will begin to come to you and they'll begin to respect you because every altar has been broken. Say it is done.